Welcome.
Welcome.
It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your host, Maureen Halloran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Sharon Bradley. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Steve Frampton, and I'd like to give you a very warm welcome to tonight's broadcast of the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening we'll be discussing the deployment of psychic ability to fight and resolve crime. I'm really excited that we have the opportunity to learn from our very special guest, Shelley Hale. Shelley is a psychic crime fighter and certified master anti-terrorism specialist. She's absolutely fascinating. Now before we get started, I'd like to welcome my fantastic co-hosts. Firstly, Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
I am very good, thank you, Steve, and I'm really looking forward to the show.
Thank you, Maureen. It will be, I promise you, it will be absolutely fascinating. Shelley's just one of the most incredible people. And Maureen, can I ask you to tell our listeners a little bit about your work?
Yes, I work at PsychicAccess.com, along with the rest of my wonderful co-host here, and I'm a intuitive clairvoyant. I have all the C's going on, okay? And I help people with direction and to help themselves. And I love my work.
Yeah, your sound's cutting up a little bit, Maureen. So I'm not sure that everybody heard you, but we heard you say that you have all of the clairs.
Yes, I do. And so I'm not going to do them all.
No worries. And we also have our special guest this evening, Nancy Galloway. How are you doing, Nancy?
I'm doing very well, Steve. Thank you.
Great. It's a pleasure to have you with us, Nancy. Could you share a little about your work as well, please?
Well, I, too, work at PsychicAccess.com, and my name on the site is Silver Wolf. And I'm an empath, intuitive, and I use the tarot cards as my tool of choice. And I get guidance as well from my angel guides. And I have a lot of fun doing it, and I really enjoy helping people find direction in life.
Great. Well, we're very happy to have you with us this evening, Nancy.
Thank you.
And Sharon, we have Sharon Bradley with us as well. How are you, Sharon?
I'm great, Steve. How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Sharon. Can you tell us a little about your work?
Sure. I do work, too, on Psychic Access, which I love. And I'm also, psychic. And I don't really use any tools. I just hear and see from spirit. So that's how I do my readings.
Wonderful.
Excited about tonight.
Oh, it's going to be brilliant. I've spoken with Shelley quite a few times on the telephone, and I'm just always blown away by her insight and experience. It's going to be great. Well, I'll quickly introduce myself. I'm Steve Frampton. I'm a psychic medium. I also give readings on PsychicAccess.com. As I've said already, I'm honored to interview our extra special guest, Shelley Hale. Shelley is president and lead licensed private investigator of Commandigo Inc. And she's also a constituent for the Overseas Security Advisory Council, which is a federal advisory committee with a US government charter to promote security cooperation between American business and private sector interests worldwide. And also the US Department of State. She's a member of InfraGuard and a graduate of the Seattle FBI Citizens Academy and member of the FBI CAAA. Now, I know from speaking with Shelley that she fills her free time solving missing persons and cold cases with Find Me, managing the team at Psychic Crime Fighter, and volunteering for King County Search and Rescue, which is an incident command team, and also for Pacific Northwest Trackers, the Seattle Red Cross, and she works to educate and influence public policy and law. Now, if you'd like more information about Shelley, please feel free to visit her website, shelleyhale.com. That's shelleyhale.com. And I know that Shelley has links to some of her other websites, which are just fascinating, so do be sure to check them out. Now, be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number a little later in the show, so be ready with your pen and paper to take down the details. And if you were unable to catch our show with Peggy McCall last week, you'll find a recorded archive link, as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please do also feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our mission to reach out with our guides and to connect with as many people as possible, so be sure to include others in our show. I want to say welcome to you, Shelley. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Our pleasure, Shelley. I can't wait to get into the detail with you. I know you've got so much to share, and it's such a pleasure and honor to have you with us tonight, Shelley.
Well, I'm really great that you reached out and that we got to know each other over these last few weeks. It's been an honor to know you, too.
Me too, Shelley. I mean, it's been absolutely synchronized by spirit as well, the way that we met and the way you were able to help me and one of my clients was absolutely wonderful. I can't thank you enough. But Shelley, I wanted to start our discussion by asking you if you could tell us a little about your background and how you discovered your psychic abilities.
Well, I would say that I was born with this gift, so it's pretty much embedded in my DNA, and it's not like I often think of myself as a separate entity as a psychic. It's pretty much a part of who I am and my way of thinking. Now, there definitely is times during the day where I am probably more psychic or non-local in my thinking than other times, which is probably the best times for me to be working on, especially a missing persons case, because my information is more accurate. But I was very young, probably 8 years old, when I had shared some information with my parents that ended up being true. And so I've known for a very long time that I had some sort of a gift there.
Fantastic, Shelley. Well, I know you're exceptionally gifted, and you know, just the looking at the letters after your name and the organizations that you're affiliated with and partnered with is just so impressive, and you're a real example. And now, I know that you do a lot of work on fighting crime and using your psychic abilities to fight crime, Shelley. Could you tell us a little how you first became involved in psychic crime fighting?
Almost 4 years ago, I got a phone call from an attorney that was an international law firm that had been working on a kidnapping case with the U.S. Marshals. And it had been about a year of some pretty extensive investigating, and they had not recovered this child. And so they asked me if I would look at the case. And they actually asked me if I would come down immediately. So I drove downtown Seattle, and I was given like 6 binders of information. And I'm not much of a reader, I should say. But I got a feeling on this case. And the next day, I went to a location, and the child was there. And so I called and said, I've located the child. And they go, well, that's not good enough. We need a photograph. So I had to come back the following day, and I actually got a really great picture that I was able to send digitized over to the lawyer and the mother of this child. And they went in, I think, 2 days after that and recovered the child safely. So following that case, I kind of made a name for myself, and everybody that was looking for somebody that knew me from the PI world started calling me up, and I started solving more and more cases.
Well, that's incredible, Shelley. I know you've helped so many people and worked on so many different cases. Now, you're also a member of the FBI Citizens Academy and Alumni Association. Could you tell us a little bit about that, Shelley?
The FBI Citizens Academy is an incredible program. It's an outreach program, and you're nominated, and they choose a group every year that gets to go through about 8 weeks of training and a graduation, and we learn about all the different divisions of the FBI and how, as citizens, we can work effectively with turning over information to them to follow up on. You know, we have this whole motto now, if you see something, say something. And as a psychic, you know, it's, if you have an ability to maybe pick up on either terrorist-related incidents or missing person cases, you often can't have to be very specific, or otherwise they can't really do much with that information. But sometimes you won't know what part of information you might be getting is important to them because you don't know what they have. So I don't necessarily filter all of my own information now. I may write up some stuff and just give it to them, and some of it is useful, some of it isn't. But going through this process with the Citizens Academy just helps you understand how the FBI works, what divisions handle what information, what's a priority, how they like their information provided to them. And it just makes that process of being a citizen and actually working on these types of cases, I'm more effective because I know how they work within the FBI.
Wow, you're incredibly well connected, Shelley. Now, I wanted to ask you, Shelley, I was writing down
Well, I want to say this about, I do have, you know, I'm an anti-terrorism specialist, and I do have a lot of acronyms behind my name, and I'm, you know, have many certifications. But remember, I was born with, it's like a child who sits down at the piano that might be a savant, and they hear a song and can play it on the piano. I just happen to have this kind of information in my brain. It is a natural for me. I never really had to study that hard of it like the three-year-old who can sit down and play something. I just happen to have this knowledge in my head.
Well, you're certainly a natural, Shelley, and you're absolutely fascinating to talk to. I always enjoy our conversations. Now, Shelley, I was writing down some thoughts before the show, and I thought, I want to ask Shelley about her typical day, and ask us if she can tell us about her typical day, and then I put in brackets, if they're ever typical. So I wanted to ask you about your typical or not-so-typical day.
Well, my days are really action-packed from the minute I wake up to the minute I go to bed, and I don't sleep that much. I usually will, you know, I have children too in a family, so I divide my time between my work and my family. But I usually will go through email and I'll check on all the missing person cases. And then on the forum, which is Psychic Crime Fighter, we have about 2,700 people now that collaborate. So often, if we have an active missing person case that we're working with a team, you know, we partner with, I think, 8 different search and rescue teams across the U.S. There's like Find Me, Q Center, Lost and Missing, Equisearch, and several other county ones as well. So we may be partnering with them in a search. And so I have to put together a report that will give the most likely locations based on psychic input. And sometimes we may have anywhere, there might be a couple psychics that give input, and there may be, you know, 50. So it can be a pretty easy report to an extensive report. So I usually tend to put together all of their information and then try to find the bridges, things that I might know that might have been shared with me through the investigative process by the detectives or the family that might not be public, and then things the psychics picked up on, and try to find the most likely spots to search. You know, and sometimes we have profilers that work on our site too that might not call themselves psychics, but, you know, there's similarities in many of these cases, so they may be picking up on some of that, and it might be consistent with what we're getting from the psychics. But, you know, we don't just have psychics. We have input from all different variety of sources. And I collaborate all that information, and then we might be coordinating a search, or we might be supporting a search. And those happen on any day of the week often. During my day, I might get several phone calls from people asking for some additional information, maybe from one psychic or another that gave something that was important. Sometimes we have our reports that were reviewed, and they may be calling me to ask me to keep something quiet, you know, because they don't want it public yet. You know, like recently on a case, we got that there was a photograph of the two suspects in a missing persons case. And there was a photograph at this location of them together, which was a breaking point for this case, because they did not say that they lied about that meeting. And so they don't want the public to know that. So they'll just tell us, you know, please keep that private. And then I have to work with a team. Now, we also have a debriefing team that not only works with the families, but with also the psychics and the investigators on the site. Because if you get very active in an investigation, it can be draining and emotional. And once we find the person, those emotions aren't over for the family. So we have family support too, that we offer. There's a group of psychics and professionals that will work with the family in terms of resolving the issues through not just a burial, but sometimes we have a trial that we have to go through. And those can sometimes take up to 3 years. So we try to support the families through that whole process as well.
Well, it's incredible, Shelley. I wanted to ask you, how common is it for the police and security services, anti-terrorist organizations in the States to use psychics to gather insight?
I'll say this. There is a stigma around, the word psychic in some instances. And on a high profile case, at the very beginning, there may be psychics calling in and saying, I'm a psychic and I have a tip, and they don't know what to do with it. That's one of the reasons I started the forum. At least it gives a venue for these people to put their information and then down, and we can try to filter that to the police. Often they're not ready to accept it for quite some time. I think it, Kyron Horman's case out of Oregon, at the very beginning, they were saying they don't want psychic information, they don't want anything to do with psychics. Now they're willing to take anything. I think for any detective or any federal, state, local agency, if it's accurate information, they don't care where it came from. They may care how it is brought to their attention, or the motives behind the person bringing it to their attention. I think they've probably found with our group that we're not out to, tell everybody how great we are and how much better we are than anybody else, or take credit. We know that this is a partnership, and our information is no less or no more important than the person who actually has to investigate it, or the searchers who have to go out and dig in the woods to find somebody. We're all important. So we don't glorify this work at all, and I think that might be make us a little different than some people who are out there to make a name for themselves. We're out there to make a name for our clients and resolving these cases more so than our own personal agenda.
Well, that's brilliant, Shelley. I'm always so admirative of people that are truly aligned with a higher purpose and, not necessarily out just to develop their own reputation and get their names out there. You do amazing work, and I know that you work so hard.
For every case we solve, there's hundreds right behind it that we still need to solve. So we never really get that joyous moment of feeling that success. It's usually there's no happiness because we're moving on to the rest that we haven't solved yet.
And how many cases do you have on the go at any one time, Shelley?
Well, there's thousands. But I would say active, that we're really pushing to get an answer for, probably 35. I try not to make it too many, although we have many listed on the site. It's hard. It's hard moving from case to case. And there's a few of us that have been working pretty, I would say 12 hours a day for the last 6 or 7 months. And often we'll get information and actually post it in the wrong forum and have to go back and move it around. You know, that's probably the only hard part right now is moving from case to case and keeping them all straight.
And can you just remind us again, Shelley, of the website in case any of our listeners would like to go and have a look at that and see how they might be able to contribute in future?
Yeah, and you don't have to be a psychic to contribute. You know, if you have something that's come up for you, we're open to receiving that information too. It's psychiccrimefighter.com.
Great. Well, thank you, Shelley. I know that people will go and review the website. I've looked at it, and it's absolutely fascinating. Now, Shelley, are you able to tell us about a case that you're working on at the moment?
Yeah, I'd love to. I can share a little bit on something that we've been working on. I don't like to work serial killer cases, but we've had a couple, you know, especially with what happened on in Long Island recently. But the Holly Bobo case, when we were pulling all the information together, there was a person that came to our attention that was a sex offender that had been arrested 2 days after she went missing. And several psychics had picked up on some information around this guy. And one of them in particular, a really great psychic on our site, her name's Tina, she actually was able to connect, and she's still working on it, but a whole bunch of cases that might be another serial killer on our hands. So we're actively working that one right now, and actually it came out of the Holly Bobo search. And I would say we may, if we get down to it, we might be able to solve another 20 cases or more. Hopefully we'll find them, because this guy is he's predatory, and he does the same things over and over again. So most likely the girls' bodies are going to be in very similar areas and handled in very similar ways. So the good thing about a serial killer is once you figure out their pattern, it's kind of easy to solve many of their cases.
How many serial killer cases have you been involved in, Shelley?
Gosh, me personally, only like 3, only because I don't like them.
But, I can imagine.
They're not my favorite, you know. We've been working for a long time with the Find Me group, the smiley face killer theory. Now, that's got hundreds of cases that, you know, have very similar type of looks on the guys that were found in the water, nothing in their lungs. And, you know, they supposedly drowned, and there's supposedly a smiley face near their body. Are you there?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. I'm just fascinated by what you're saying. Amazing. Your work's just incredible, Shelley. Now, I wanted to ask you about remote viewing, because it's a subject that I find really interesting. I want to learn as much as I can about remote viewing, but I know it's a very specific protocol. Now, are you able to tell us whether psychic crime fighters use remote viewing, and if so, how it works?
Well, there is. I've actually done the training that is given to military recruits on remote viewing. But because I think I'm a natural remote viewer, and for anyone who's listening, it's remote viewing is very similar to when you're getting ready to leave your house and you can't find your keys, and in your head you kind of play the movie of everything you did during the day to figure out where you left your keys. The only thing is that in controlled remote viewing, what what we're most often doing is actually trying to define a target. So they will usually give a 9-digit number, and the remote viewer will go through a protocol and describe what that target is. And usually it'll start with naming your advanced visuals. The problem with a psychic in remote viewing is if you're truly a gifted psychic, and you know everybody's got a little bit of this psychic gift in them, but your advanced visuals might give you sight contact. Meaning if it's a salt shaker in an Italian restaurant, you're already going to be in the Italian restaurant. And your target would be the salt shaker. So it's a great skill set for me to get more accurate at what I do, because I'm always looking for usually a body. So making sight contact in terms of looking for missing persons is sometimes good enough, but not always. So to hone my skill, I use remote viewing techniques and controlled remote viewing.
Wow.
I swear by it. It's a great, there's a lot of great people out there that can teach it. There's people that I've seen that, you know, are not very good at it. And there's people that I've seen that are brilliant at it. And there's actually, we did one recently and we did a future event. And so the target was something that was going to happen in the future, and the actual person that was going to pick the target hadn't picked it yet, and we got it right. So I thought that was very interesting, because you know I always think that you know the future isn't always set in stone. There's God's will and self will, so things can change.
I remember reading about the military using remote viewing, and there was one particular case in which they remote viewed a location, and then when they actually looked at the photographs of the location, they said, oh no, this remote viewing wasn't accurate, because the remote viewers saw an installation that wasn't actually there. But then they actually did more research and found that that's how it was about 50 or 60 years beforehand. So the remote viewers had actually tuned into the location correctly, but they'd seen it at a different time. So you're saying that it is possible with remote viewing to go forward in time and actually tune into a situation or an environment in the future?
Absolutely. And in fact, it was a remote viewing team that found Saddam Hussein. So I know that it's been used, and it's been used, you know, as recently as, I don't know how often, but because a lot of it's classified, but I do know that it's used. And, you know, some of it with the training that the military gets is, you know, pattern recognition, you know, and it's absolutes and probabilities. But if you take pattern recognition and algebraic equations and, you know, absolutes and probabilities, and you add the layer of having an intuitive gift, it's like, you know, having a child on one side of a minefield and you on the other, and you're able to run and get that child and run back and not explode.
Wow, I love the way you explain that. That's incredible. Do you know, Shelley, if remote viewers were used to locate Osama bin Laden?
I know that there's many teams that have been working on it for a long time. I don't know what input any of those teams gave. I can tell you that there is a psychic that is out of Canada that has been providing me terrorist-related information for a while. And she gave, you know, she gives me a lot. So it's a lot to go through. And, you know, I wasn't always sure where something would fit or not fit. And she recently sent me a picture, and I wasn't sure of the context of it, but I do know now. And it was related to Osama bin Laden. And it was two UPS trucks back to back parked. And the guy that she was talking about, or the guy that was the person who gave up Osama's location, was a courier. And based on the context that this was put in, she had hit on who it was.
Wow. That's incredible,
know,
isn't it?
It's crazy. I actually want to go back and review most of her other stuff, because it's hard when people are giving you a lot of just lucid dreams or remote views. There's a lot of information in there, and sometimes you don't know where it fits until, you know, the case is solved. It's hard to know.
I'm really interested that you mentioned dreaming, actually, Shelley, because I've been dreaming vividly recently, and I've been trying to read about what happens when we sleep, what happens when we dream, and how to differentiate between a dream that is sort of mumbo-jumbo, we're processing our emotions, or we're processing what happened during the day, and a dream that actually provides useful information, so maybe some premonitions or some insight. Are you able to tell us a little bit about dreaming and what we might look for in order to identify the dreams or the information that could be useful?
Well, I do know that Christopher Robinson is probably one of the best psychic dreamers that is living today. It's maybe not one of my specialties, because I have so many dreams and I wake up in the morning and I start going instead of taking the time to write it all down. But I do know that you cannot manipulate your dreams. So when you're in that dream state, it's the purest form of your psychic gift. We won't know. I mean, you don't really know if something's a premonition unless you've stated that you dreamt it, and then you document when it happens, you know. And that's the thing I will say, when I was younger, the hardest part of being a child psychic was I would predict something or say something was going to happen, and then it didn't happen for like 8-9 years. It was too long for most people to wait, you know. So I had to narrow that timeline down for people to start taking me seriously, you know. And but I thought that was, you know, a good thing for me to recognize as a young child, you know, because you just don't make sense.
It's interesting you make that point. I've just started doing journaling, because a friend of mine was telling me about journaling, and I found that when I wake up, or when I've just woken up in the morning, that's when I want to actually spend some time writing things down. And sometimes I write thoughts, sometimes I write about a dream, sometimes I get insight from my spirit guides about my day or my life. Sometimes I get insight for clients. It seems that when we wake up in the morning, we get this stream of consciousness, or we receive this information because we've been very close to spirit. Do you find that?
I do find that that's true. And I also believe that what I've seen in evaluating and interpreting other people's information is their initial, like, 3-second scribble of what they felt like in their dream state is usually the most accurate of the psychic information I get. Because remember, when people are talking about you know, what they may have seen or felt, most of the time they're doing their own interpretation. And I just have found that the best information is usually when somebody has a partner and their partner is helping them interpret.
So it's best not to try and interpret the information ourselves, if we can.
Right. The rawest of data is usually the best. For instance, what it smelt like, what it felt like, you know, sometimes the depth, how tall, you know, descriptors, things to describe, those are usually the best. You know, when people start to really get down to define the specifics of it, is usually when they go wrong or it goes awry. That's what I find in looking at, you know, because I am asked to evaluate other people's psychic information all the time. You know, law enforcement might have, you know, sometimes many reports come in and they don't know. It's a mumbo jumbo, they say. And I go, well, let me take a look at it. And sometimes within that mumbo jumbo, I find the key point that needed to be made that may solve the case.
Wow. Did you get much feedback from the police?
Yes. I don't know feedback. That's normal, though. I hear from a lot of other people that they don't. I tend to get, you know, acknowledgement, thank yous. I think they call me more often than I call them. In fact, right before I got on the phone with you guys, I got an email from a detective. So, you know, it's they have gut instincts. They have, intuition too. And most of them are willing to listen to it. Like I said, if it's good information, they'll take it.
Take it and use it to solve crimes. The thing I love about you, Shelley, is you use your gifts to make the world a better place. You use your gifts to put people at peace, to help find people that have been affected by crime and actually make a difference. It's just amazing.
Well, crimes have increased, and the mode of crimes has, it's sometimes what you could never have once imagined it would be. And I recently was, I had a hit on a terrorist attack that was in the planning stages, which is where I would like all psychics to get to, is seeing it while it's in the planning stages, because I don't want to hear about when it's already over, because I can't do anything with it. But in this planning stages, I had a lot of really good information. The mode of delivery, where, it was going to be in a subway. I knew it was women. I knew I could describe them. The only thing was, I don't speak Russian, and I didn't know I was in Russia. And it was I was 4 days out. So that one was a killer for me, because we could have done something. I had enough information that we could have done something with it. And I need to get better at languages. But if I had a Russian partner, we probably could have figured that out.
No, you're just incredible. Can you tell us, Shelley, how people can actually better understand their psychic ability? Because so many people have or are interested in developing their psychic ability, but few people understand how it actually works, how it is that we're able to get psychic insight. Can you help us to understand that better?
I would describe it as black and white. It's you're either living in faith or you're living in fear. So when you're really in tune with the psychic side of your mind, you're not really thinking. You're actually just pulled in the right direction. Once I say, if I'm starting to talk about something and psychically from, I don't really recall everything I say psychically, but the minute I'll put the word but or and my partner usually will know I'm getting into the investigator side of my mind, and so I'm no longer coming from that psychic standpoint. But see, there you go. There's a but. I think if you start to try to rely on your intuition a little bit more, so taking some risks in your life in terms of trusting your instincts. For instance, you might tomorrow have a regular route that you drive to work, but tomorrow you're going to find a new route. And by opening up your mind to expand past that thing that you do by habit, you may open yourself up to some other areas of your life where your intuition or your ability to rely on your gut or your psychic side will get stronger.
And it's interesting because, I work full time as a psychic, and I listen to my gut feel, I listen to my guides, my intuition for everybody else. But I found that I wasn't really doing it for myself, but I saw it very much as something for everybody else. And I remember the other day I was in my home office, and I was thinking of my cat, Oscar, and I just had this vision of him on the banisters on my landing. I have this landing that goes across, it's very high up, and it goes across the living room. And I had this vision of him tiptoeing across the banisters and falling off the banisters down into the living room. And I didn't really do anything about it, and then later that evening I rushed out of my office, and he was on the banisters, and he was startled because I rushed, and he fell off the banister. Unfortunately, he landed on my sofa. Unfortunately, it's a leather sofa which now has scratches on it, but he was safe. But it just struck me, and I thought, we really have to listen to our own intuition for ourselves as well, because I wasn't listening enough for myself.
Yeah, we become creatures of habit, And I will say that sometimes I think it's really good to stir things up. And to get yourself, you know, kind of motivated again, you might go listen to some great speaker that might inspire you, or something good might happen in your life and it might, you know, keep you motivated for a little while. But if nothing's kind of going on that's inspiring you, it's often good to change things up, whether it's moving the furniture around in your living room, taking a shelf or a drawer or a closet and cleaning it. Little things that actually kind of stir up the energy in an area that is stagnant. And you'll find that kind of will start an inspiration, and you might be able to carry that forward. And, you know, there's other things. I got to tell you, if you are feeling a need, you know, to have a little uplifting, doing it anonymously, like if you drive through Starbucks or some restaurant, paying for the bill behind, for the car behind you, just something little that they'll never know it was you, and it was just a complete random act of kindness. And, you know, it might be a few dollars, but I got to tell you, it'll do a lot for getting you moving in the right direction again.
Wow, that's brilliant. Now, next time I go to Starbucks, I'll do that. Then I'll pay for the people behind me.
Starbucks is usually the cheapest because it's $2 or $3. They're usually buying a cup of coffee.
That's really, it's so nice. And imagine how great it would be if everybody did that. How it would put a smile on everybody's face at some point during the day. Yeah. And it would just be wonderful.
Well, you know, it will. There's a lot of people who are taking the cup of coffee. So by you giving a cup of coffee, we're sort of wiping out the negative. Even if it's not your negative, it's negative in the world that can affect us on a level that you might not understand until it happens in your life, whether it's one of your kids getting hurt or a parent or a robbery at your bank. I mean, these little things start to, you know, it starts with something small that someone took, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it's usually, you know, someone robbing your house.
Do you believe, Shelley, that the bad things that happen in the world are in some way a manifestation or an output of our collective negative energy?
I think so. I mean, in some ways, if you look at if you walk into your house, say you're married, and you walk into your house and your spouse is, you know, mad about something, that feeling you get when you walk into that zone is very different than when you walk in and he might be so happy and celebrating love. You know, we feel it. We might not be aware of it or be able to articulate it as much as we should, but we feel it. If we go to work and our boss is stomping around versus we go to work and our boss brings us donuts or something, you know, we feel it every day.
Wonderful. Well, Shelley, we're going to take a short commercial break for a minute, and then we'll get straight back into the discussion. It's fascinating.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Well, welcome back, Shelley. That was our short commercial break, and the show's absolutely fascinating, Shelley. So interesting that I forgot that we needed to have a commercial break, because I was so engrossed in the conversation with you, I could talk to you forever. I wanted to ask you, Shelley, you mentioned earlier on that people can help. You gave the details of the website that you coordinate, and you were saying that people don't have to be professional psychics or even consider themselves psychic to provide information. How should we go about tuning in and trying to provide insight?
Well, it's like with any group. Say you wanted to learn how to needlepoint. If you started going to a needlepoint meeting once a week, you're probably going to become a pretty good needle pointer. I think just by being in the energy of a group of people that are using this gift and watching that unfold and the process and knowing that whatever you are good at, that is of value to a collaborative or a group effort, because we don't need everybody to be exactly good at one thing. Then we have a bunch of cookie cutters. We want people that are good at different things. So, you know, we have moms that are good at research. We have people that are good at search and rescue. We have psychics that are good at remote viewing, psychics that are good at names, psychics that are good at descriptors. We have a girl who's really good at coordinates on a map. So we're looking for that diversity among different skill sets, and it's through that we find the puzzle gets put together faster. So anybody can do it, you know. And remember, this is a volunteer group. So if you only have 5 minutes a day, we wouldn't be expecting anything more than that. We want everybody to find the balance and only give what they can. So we take what we can get. And, you know, there are some psychics that are really good that you wish they could do more. But all of us need breaks, and we need to take care of ourselves and our families and do other things too.
Well, Shelley, I know you do a huge amount. Now, you're also a private investigator, aren't you?
I am a licensed PI in the state of Washington.
Wow. How much time do you spend each day working on the crime fighting and the psychic insight for crime resolution? I'm gonna fall off my seat when I hear.
I know. It's sort of taken over my whole life, but I usually start at 6 a.m. and I work till about 10 p.m. And that's pretty constant. Some days there's a lot going on, but I have a huge team that is behind me. So there's several people who have been working on the site for a long time, and all of them are really good at what they do. So it's not just all me. I mean, if it wasn't for them, this couldn't run. You know, there's times I want to be the psychic and not have to pull all the information together. And, you know, you get front loaded once you start looking over all the details. So I might have somebody else kind of put the report together so that I can just use my psychic skills to solve it. You know, I will say this, I've never seen where one person was better than a group of people. You know, there's something to be said about, us working as a team and as a group.
So as a group, we're far more powerful if we actually work together and collaborate.
Yeah. I mean, you hear it with prayer groups, you hear it with the nuns and the monks, and I mean, you know, Buddhas and Krishnas. I mean, everybody, when they talk about the group effort, there's something more powerful about a group effort. And I'm not saying that one psychic couldn't solve it. I'm not going to discount the value of one single psychic either. I'm just saying, as a group, I'll give you a perfect example. There was a child who was abducted, and the mother was desperate and had called a PI to come in, and she also called 3 psychics. And everybody sat down at the table, and one psychic had the first 3 letters of the license plate, the second one had the second 3 letters of the license plate, and the third one had what was written on the license plate holder. And they were able to recover that child safely, pretty quickly. Had only one of those psychics been there, those 3 letters would have meant very little, and it would have taken days to figure it out.
But Shelley, what do you tell people when you're in Starbucks, for example, and somebody says to you, "Oh, hi, what do you do for a living?" What do you say?
I'm an intelligence analyst.
Okay.
That's basically, okay. You know, I just, what I do is I use my gift, but I really just analyze all of this intel, which is from all different sources, and then put it in a format that's useful in solving a crime. So I label that as being an intelligence analyst. But I'm not afraid to say I'm psychic either. I mean, I say it all the time.
You do tell people that you're psychic.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I have to put up with the skeptics and, you know, it's like, prove you're psychic, prove you did this. It's like, prove there's God. I guess either I can consider the source and move past all that. And sometimes you fall into it hurting your feelings. You know, it's like we've worked really hard on so many cases and solved a lot of them this past year. And when someone comes and says, no psychic ever solved a case, you know, of course that's hurtful for, you know, and I'm defending the 2,700 psychics that work on the team. But I don't have a lot of free time to fight those battles. So if they don't want to use me, they don't have to. If they don't like me, they don't have to. You know, once you become a public figure, you kind of open yourself up to a lot of, you know, scrutiny anyway. And the rules change in terms of what people can say about you.
Well, I just admire you, Shelley. I mean, this is probably the most fascinating show we've done. I mean, we've done a lot of different shows. We've interviewed a lot of people, and I just think you're incredible. I just want to learn more and more about your work. And can you tell us, Shelley? Well, it's actually a question for me, really. I guess I'm being a bit selfish, but I'm thinking, so if I wanted to learn about remote viewing and develop that ability, where would be the best place to go to do that?
Or how might I go about that? I believe the International Remote Viewing Association, IRVA, is having a conference in Vegas coming up soon. But there's several different groups out there. I actually personally, you know, and not that I'm reading you, but I would tell you to try to join a smaller group that was more local that you could meet with, even if it was a Skype group, rather than, you know, trying to get into a big conference where people are learning this. I think in a smaller group setting, you would get more out of it. There are several different types of... I'll hook you up with a few people that I would recommend. Dr. Melvin Morris is a really great guy that likes to teach this on the side. He runs Spiritual Scientific, and he does a lot of research in this non-local field. And he was a near-death researcher for many years. You know, what I say is, you know, find the things that you're passionate about and learn as much as you can about those things. There's lots of really gifted, wonderful people out there that want to teach. You know, so it's just a matter of putting out in the universe that you want to learn, and they'll show up.
And it's true. It's so true that happens. Have you heard of Coral Pold? She was a psychic, amazing psychic artist. There's some brilliant video footage of her on YouTube. She's amazing. She's in spirit now. But she channeled about 100,000 or in excess of 100,000 portraits of people in spirit. And so often the photograph of the member of the client or the person in the congregation at the spiritualist church would pull out a photo and it would be the same. She's absolutely incredible. And I asked spirit just about 3 days ago if I could somehow get hold of a piece of her artwork, and lo and behold, this morning I was traveling to North Carolina. I've got an email from a guy in the UK that went to a home sale, picked up two portraits, didn't really know anything about them, and he searched for Coral Polds on the internet and found a blog that I'd written about her, and he's contacted me.
Wow. That's
just amazing.
Wonderful.
You know, we ask and we can receive. And Shelley, we had terrible
storms.
There's
a lot of power out there, so it's true. It's, you know, there's manifestation books and all that stuff, but really it's a matter of, do you believe or do you not believe?
Absolutely. And we had terrible storms in the States last week, and I live in Tennessee, in Knoxville, and I've never seen anything like it. It was just unbelievable. And I just feel as though somehow it's changed the energy. It just feels different. Do you feel that some of the some of the changes we're experiencing and some of the natural disasters we're experiencing are actually rewiring us in some way.
I do feel that there's some of that. And the energy that's coming from the natural disasters that we're being faced with, all different people that experience that are going to have different responses to it. So some people will get over it fast, some people won't, and that's going to affect a whole different community. Because just like in a family, in a family dynamic, you might have the mom and the dad and the three kids. If one of those kids dies, it changes the dynamic, right? And it's hard for them to kind of find their place after that. When a disaster happens and houses fall down or business fall down or your car's lost or your job's lost, that changes the dynamic in what was comfortable in your life. And there's all of these different people responding to that. What was once normal in a different way is hard. So it's what needs to happen is the community needs to come together. Everybody needs to support each other and have compassion around understanding that some people are going to get over it right away and some people aren't. Yeah, we've had a jump start. We've had jump starts since Katrina. I don't know if we're getting it right. We're not, it seems like more and more beautiful land in our country and across the globe is being flattened and lives being lost. Recovery is not easy when you have so many disasters.
I know, it's something that we all need to focus upon and can all make a difference with if we stick together. And I really like your emphasis upon collaboration and supporting each other, Shelley. It's just incredible. And Shelley, you've shared so much with us. I can't thank you enough for joining us this evening. And I want to thank you as well on behalf of everyone for all of the wonderful work you do, all of the time you put into solving crime and making the world a safer place. You're a wonderful example to us all.
Well, thank you. I will keep doing this work, and I will keep including as many psychics that want to give and participate in it. And like I said, if you get a chance, buy someone a cup of coffee and see if that makes a difference in your day.
Well, I'm definitely going to try that. And thank you. You've shared so much and so many wise thoughts and so much experience with us, Shelley. I've got huge respect for what you do and for your knowledge and your work. So we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, especially as I know you had surgery on your shoulder. And thank you so much for being with us, Shelley.
You're welcome. And I hope I get to come back again. And you guys are wonderful. And I love the work that you do. And I'm honored that you even asked me to come on. I don't get to do this very often anymore because I'm busy with other stuff. But it's an honor that you even asked me.
Well, thank you, Shelley. And it's an honor to have had you with us on the show. And we'll certainly be asking you to come back.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Shelley. Well, you get okay. better soon. I hope your shoulder's better soon, and good luck with all of your work. We'll be in touch.
Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Shelley.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Shelley. What an incredible show and an incredible lady, guys. Wow.
People are really enjoying it in the chat room as well.
Yeah, she's just fascinating. Now, if you guys want to know more about Shelley and her work, which I'm sure you do, then do be sure to visit her website, shelleyhale.com. That's SHELLEEHALE.com. And as I said at the beginning of the show, you can also find out more about Shelley on our guests page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Now, before we move on to our discussion between the co-hosts and then our readings, I'd like to make some announcements. Please be sure to visit our website, psychicbloggers.com, where you can learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development, all of the psychics at psychicaccess.com contribute to that website, so do be sure to check it out. There's just a wealth of information there. And if you're interested in reading from the best psychics on the net, then go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of these psychics are verified, accuracy tested, and have their unique gifts. They've all got their detailed profiles, so you can find out about them and choose a psychic that you feel can help you at this time. I know that lots of psychics have come to work for Psychic Access, and I speak to many of them in the hiring process, and we've got really high standards. I certainly enjoy being with Psychic Access, so do come and join us. It's a very credible and reputable psychic service with a lot of integrity and a great reputation. And you'll find all of the co-hosts here on the Psychic Viewpoint at psychicaccess.com. So if you'd like a personal reading from any one of the co-hosts, please be sure to get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a website owner or webmaster, you can earn 50 cents a minute on readings that come to Psychic Access, from your website. So please do be sure to check out our great program at psychicaccess.com/webmasters. Now, as I said at the beginning of the show, if you like the show, please invite your friends to join us. Get into the chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. You can send the archive links on to your friends by email or on Facebook. Help us spread the word and to share the amazing insights that we receive from our guests. Especially today, I really enjoyed the show with Shelley. She's just incredible. So send that information on, because by doing that, we raise awareness and we improve the energy and understanding that we have. And that can help us all to make the world a better place. Now, if you'd like to call in for a reading later in the show, I'm going to give you the telephone number to dial. It's 724-444-4851. And I'll repeat that for you. It's 724-444-4851. So do give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And we've got to that point in the show during which we interact and talk about the interview and some of our personal experiences. So I'd like to start with Maureen. Maureen, I know that you've been involved with an organization for many years, an organization that involves missing children and adults and how to help find people. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, and I would also like to say Shelley was wonderful, and what she was saying about people work better in groups. This is what I've been involved with. It's called Child Finders. And it's a nonprofit network of intuitives and professional and also non-psychics as well. And we donate donating even an hour weekly to help the authorities find abducted children. And our mission is to have a group of 10 to 20 intuitives on each missing child. So she was absolutely correct about it. As a group, you can get a lot more information. So we work with the authorities, and then we send. So we collaborate together, and we have like a. It's called like a matrix, and like anybody in the chat room or anybody listening to this, you know, later on in the archives, as well. Everybody's welcome to participate in this, and then we have. So we'll have like a. It's called a matrix, and we go down the line of. The location of the child now, and you just kind of go down, or the direction, north or south, east or west, and the distance reported within, you know, whatever you're getting, and if they're still moving in, they're traveling, and or you know, that kind of thing, and you just go down. It's been working out very well for many years, or the type of building somebody might see on the outside, or describe the material. That's like a little bit of the remote viewing she was talking about, and. Or the first letter of a street name, if somebody, another person might be getting that. So we all collaborate this together, and then the authorities are absolutely wonderful. They welcome us on these, and it's wonderful when you can get them. We work on the ones first that are just, you know, immediately, of course, been abducted. Then we'll head towards the ones that have been gone for a while. And it can be really, it's bittersweet. But it helps. Anybody can do this. It helps. It's volunteering yourself, and it really helps. And with this certain, matrix, we call it, that we work through, just adding, it's, you know, different questions. We can pull this together, and then we can, it's a consensus of pulling it together and then being able then to put it on a master one, and then we can hand it over to the authorities in all the states. And there are, all of them in the states are very, like I said, and some of the FBI, they're all welcoming to this. And it's interesting how things have changed, my goodness, from years and years and years ago. This would not be going on. And it's proven to be quite helpful. And, you know, it's, like she said, a lot of people, they, you know, hear you're psychic, you just can't be hurt, and they can't find children. It, like I said, anybody can do this. You don't have to be an intuitive, you don't have to be, you can be a mom. Like she said, you can be anybody. And, or you can be a researcher, you can be just doing anything. But it's amazing how if you get a group at least of 10 together, to work on something, it really has shown to be much more successful. Because, you know, we find 300 children that on the average are abducted by strangers also each year in the U.S. There's so many. And each missing child under 16 stranger abductions within 48 hours. So we try to get on top of it, and so there you have it. So I've been involved with them for about 5 years. And I haven't, you know, I was really putting in a lot of time many, many years ago. And sometimes it can be it's very difficult. And you have to, well, our work can be difficult because I'm an empath, so I pick up a lot of, it can be very hard on the body and your emotional state, but I am really proud to be part of it.
Well, it's wonderful, Maureen. You do great work as well, and it's wonderful to hear people, you know, with great psychic abilities like you saying that they are actually involved in fighting crime and helping people. You know, that's exactly what Shelley was talking about. So you're also a wonderful example to us. You know, we really can make a difference. And it's interesting you say, you know, the police, times have changed. The police and the FBI, the authorities are interested in this information. They are open to it. As Shelley said, they will take all good information. It doesn't really matter how it comes. If it's good information, then it can be used to help. And, you know, I often ask my guides, you know, what is happening in the world? What are the changes that we're experiencing? And they often say to me, you know, we are becoming more telepathic. We are becoming more networked. And if we can work on that, then we really can make a difference. We really can make the world a better place to be.
Yeah, and you know, I wanted to also make a point here on this. It's also, if anybody is interested, you can go to missingkids.org, where you find these children on Child Finders. Anybody can just join in. You know, it's not a big, you know, you don't have to be screened or anything. So if anybody's interested in chat room or listening to this later, we'd love to have you. Also, we do stay away from anything that would be very devastating, that would be not right to be throwing out. We will not say, oh, we see somebody brutalized, you know, that kind of stuff. We are not about that. We're about helping find a location or where these children are. Not about scaring the heck out of, you know, families or anything else if we're getting, you know what I mean. It's not that we're giving false hope, but we're not putting, even if somebody got something that they see that this person's child might be dead, well, maybe they're not. Maybe they're picking up on that, but they could be wrong. So we don't go in that direction. We just try to focus on finding them.
Well, thank you, Maureen, and thank you for putting time into that. I've been mega busy recently, and I want to build time into my schedule to actually provide insight as well to Shelley's organization, because it's just so important. Now, I've got a question for you, Sharon. I know that you had an experience in this lifetime that you believe was connected to a crime in a previous life. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. First, I want to say it was a great show, and I'm really excited because I've always wanted to help, but I never knew how, and all that information was just perfect timing. Thank you for that.
Great, Sharon. Glad you enjoyed it.
It was good. So when I had this dream, and it was really, really strong. It was way back, like Jack the Ripper days, you know, it was England, and someone had kidnapped me, and it was this woman, like, she was like, it was like Nightmare on Elm Street, like, she looked like that and everything, and she had, like, I guess I was giving them too much trouble, and they took, this is quite graphic, but they took a knife, and they stuck it in my mouth, and it was attached to a board, so I was basically dying, you know, and it was so vivid, and it was really horrible. This didn't happen in this lifetime, obviously, but what happened was, about a week later, I was at work, and I had a huge fight with a lady. And I mean, it was so not like me, and it was like a huge power struggle, and I was devastated, you know. And when I called my healer, I hadn't told my healer about the dream. She said they were connected, and it was the same lady, and I had to take my power back. And I thought, oh my goodness! So it was like really interesting.
Well, that sounds fantastic. It doesn't sound fantastic. It sounds awful, but it's fantastic in the sense that it's very interesting.
It was over, yeah, and it wasn't painful in the dream, which kind of gave me comfort in knowing that no matter what pain you go through, you kind of don't feel it, you know? So that kind of gave me comfort, too.
Well, thank you for sharing the story, Sharon.
Thank you.
Now, Nancy, you've got a long history of working in the corrections system, first with group home and secure custody for young offenders, and then later in both probation and parole. Can you tell us, was there a time when your abilities as an intuitive helped you in that work?
Yes, and tonight I found the show fascinating, partly because I have worked in corrections in the past for many years, and it's just amazing the kind of work that Maureen and Shelley are doing. And but being intuitive and empathic, when I was working in parole many years ago, it wasn't, you know, times have changed, like Maureen said, and it wasn't, you know, part of the mindset then to outwardly use it. But I found that, you know, I was having premonitions and feelings about things that were going to happen, and I ended up actually getting out of the job I was in, and shortly after that, there was a horrific crime that happened within our office, and I don't want to get into it just for confidentiality reasons, but you know, it really protected me, and I found that you know, having those gifts, you know, with parole, your job is to help the offender, you know, rehabilitate, but it's also to protect the public. So, you know, it gave me an edge to get inside of people's heads and, you know, feel what they were feeling, and I was better able to help them rehabilitate and then cut down on, you know, them, you know, reoffending and things like that. But at the same time, you know, I do get called back to do contract work, but I'm finding that, as Maureen said, you know, being an empath, you know, you really absorb other, you know, you get a lot of feelings, and it really does take a lot of energy. So I found that now I've had to take some time for myself and do other things, and I would like to get back into that work. But you really do have to protect yourself and take care of yourself at the same time.
Well, you know, I know you've done a huge amount of work as well, Nancy. It's great to have you on the show with us, and thank you for sharing that insight
into some
of the work that you've done. We hope that you'll be with us here again. It's great.
Me
to have
too.
You
it's lots of fun.
Yeah, it is. It is fun.
It is. It's great fun.
It is, and with amazing guests like Shelley, it's just fascinating. I look forward to her shows. Now, Maureen, you were sought out by a family in Orange County, California, to help them with a murder case, and that was when psychics or sensitives were not regarded, or not highly regarded as they are today. And can you? I wanted to ask you if you could tell us a little bit about that particular instance.
Yes, and actually, it was a pretty big deal at the time period. And actually, it was with a family that was Japanese, and you know, the Japanese people are very honorable family member people. I don't know if the culture is very much, you know, you don't dishonor your family, and I don't know, you know what I mean? If people knows what I mean, you know, in the days of Harry Carey. But this woman, the mother, contacted me, and interestingly enough, it was her son that was up for murder of his daughter that was a small child. It was, and they had heard about me. I don't know how they heard about me, but this was in the early 90s. So what was fascinating, the DA prosecutor even got involved, and it was more interesting because he really felt that the son was not, even though he was prosecuting it was very odd. He didn't feel the son actually was it either, but it was because of it was a mess. It was a girl with a boyfriend, but the father was the son of this Japanese young man. He was just a lovely guy, and I went to visit him, and I was getting all sorts of stuff with this, and I was alone in this, but I also got to work with the DA, and that was the real interesting part, because mostly that wouldn't happen. It just doesn't happen, because they're prosecuting the guy. But it turned out that they did go into court. It was such a fluke thing, and it was very advertised. People were going crazy over it. It was so brutal what had happened to this child and this poor little girl. And it turned out, though, that he was released, and he did not do it. And they did find out that it was a boyfriend had done it, but it was a mess. But it was not something that they had put me there going that she helped us along this. They did not do that. And that's fine with me. It didn't matter to me. But I did go into the court. I was up there. And, you know, I kept in touch with the woman for many years after that. They're a lovely family. But they had a hard time with the culture of him being, you know, dishonoring their family. And so it was very hard. It was very hard for them to deal with this. But they felt deeply that their son was good. Otherwise, you know, they disowned him. But it was very devastating, and I'll never forget it. And I was getting so many images and feelings, and it broke my heart. And that was way before I got into Child Finders. And, you know, I later went to Cal State Long, went back to as an adult entry to college, and in criminology and philosophy. And the professor there asked, his son-in-law was in the FBI. They came to, and he asked me, he said, "Maureen, I want you to talk to him because they're recruiting, because they're looking for people like you that have this added little psychic feature going on that would be really, that would really add, because that's what they're doing now. They don't advertise that all the time. Well, now they might be a little bit, because like Shelly was saying, she went through a thing as citizens, but this is where they wanted to recruit you into it because of this." He said, in fact, it was funny because I thought, well, what do you mean? It was really great how respected I was all of a sudden. Because they want someone with a little bit of that edge or a different type of thing going on like you, because you would be an asset to them. And I almost went for it. I had a daughter that was 3, so I didn't. But I wanted to bring that up. Things have changed. It's a great thing. So, yeah, that's another thing that I was
involved. Well, times have changed more, and you're right, and I definitely plan to get involved, and it's fascinating. So I'll be in touch with you to ask some more questions on the telephone. Now we're going to take a short commercial break for 30 seconds, and then we'll be back to continue the show, and we'll be doing the readings shortly.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
I've got a question for you now, Sharon. I was in the UK a few weeks ago, and in France not long before. And whenever I'm in Paris, I always think of Lady Diana and the terrible accident in Paris. You mentioned to me on the phone quite some time ago that you had a very vivid dream when Lady Diana passed over to spirits. Can you tell us about that?
Okay, like when she passed over, I wasn't even thinking about it really, and I was sleeping, and a license plate came to my mind, and I woke up and I wrote it down, because it wasn't our kind of license plate, it was like a from over there license plate, and I ended up giving it to someone who worked They were, her husband had worked with looking after the kids when they were young, like he was some kind of RCMP or something. So I gave it to her, but it was like so vivid. I remember it was like really weird. Sometimes I'll be sleeping and a face will come in my face and I know I have to get up because it's something, I just have to write it down. It's neat how it comes to you. But, yeah.
Do you do a journal as well, Sharon? Do you write down your stream of consciousness when you wake up?
No, never. I've heard you can take a drink of water too. Like if you drink water as soon as you get up. But I guess it's the same thing, the journaling or the water. You're doing that, Steve?
The water. I'm not sure what you mean, Sharon.
Oh,
by the water.
I've heard that as soon as you get up, if you've had like vivid dreams and you drink water, like have water beside your bed, and then you drink the water as soon as you get up. And I guess keep your journal, and then the dreams will come faster. I don't know why I've heard that before, though.
I'll try that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll check it out.
Put a cover on it in the night. You never know what I'll get in there.
Well, thank you. I'll try. Give that a try. I'm certainly enjoying the journaling. I'm getting some great insight and some brilliant ideas as well.
I guess it's
spirit
great.
Share.
Great for writing, too, I guess, because you have all
your
ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, mm-hmm. Some of your best stuff. Well, we're going to get started with our calls. We've come to that part of the show when we take your calls and questions. And we can take your call or we can answer some questions in the chat room later as well if we have time. But we'll take the telephone calls first of all because of the wait time. Now, just to remind you, the call-in number for your free reading is 724-444. 4851. So once again, 724-444-4851. And please note that no one will answer your call. When your call comes through, you'll be placed on hold automatically. So just relax and listen to the show while you wait to be connected. When you do get through, please speak up clearly and tell us your name when you come on air. And please be specific with your question. We don't have lots of time. So if you tell us your question clearly, we'll be able to focus, hone in, and directly respond to your area of interest. Now, Maureen's going to take the first call from Washington State.
Hello, Washington State.
Hi, Maureen. Hello. It's Smiling Face, and I want to know if you see a divorce or a legal separation within a year for me.
Okay, great. Good direct question. Thank you very much for doing that. Okay, I do feel this is really great. This is really, you look like you're having a really rough time with this, and your sleep is so interrupted, and there's a lot of grieving, and I do feel that you want this, don't you? I mean, you're asking me about when, but I'm asking you, is this something that you're desiring that it would be the best? To do so.
I think it would be best for both of us, yes.
I'm sorry, Smiley Face, I didn't hear you. What was that?
I think it would be the best for both of us,
yes. Right. Okay, so I just want to get that clear because there's absolutely this, it would be, and if it's not, I do feel that you're gonna feel so stronger. I can see what's going on, or I can feel what's going on with you. It's difficult. And talking about dreams here as well, your dreams have been difficult on you. It's a hard time. But I see two men around here. One is when it would be a man that is a bit. He looks like a businessman, but he's not in the best. Of his, well, he's not at the higher vibration level, he's at the lower, and he's someone that may not have the cash flow, but instead of being up front, he's like, he has money, cash, and then he doesn't, but instead of being up front, he can be very cruel and rude, and instead of saying, listen, I'm having a rough time, and then there's another gentleman who's very, it might be two sides of this, who's very aggressive and assertive, no, not assertive, aggressive. And likes to tell people or you what's the best thing for you. It's just like a very controlling person. He reminds me of somebody that would be also this second man I'm looking at. That would be like he, not that he works in a field, a militant type of energy or a policeman. That type of energy he has, and it's like you're it's too much. It's like it's too tiresome. There's definitely, I feel that this is, you've hung in there and you've seen, you have not been seeing things realistically. You've come to grips with that. You've searched for deeper meaning, but you know this is a good time. And I feel even though you're mustering up the energy to take back your personal power, and I see this happening, yes, absolutely. There's a lot of different stuff going on for you right now. It's a really interesting time. The thing that I wanted to tell you, though, is you are going to have to be very clear about staying focused on what your objective is here. And I think that it's not like it's a fluke thing. I think this has been thought, you're thinking this through, and I think that you've hung in there. But it's not, just nothing happening that's going to, no one's made an effort to change any type of way they are in this, your marriage, okay, I guess. And you keep looking and trying to figure out what went wrong or the guilt and regret, but it is what it is. And it's almost like 3 major long years of really intense, I mean 3 years of, I don't know how long you've been married, but 3 very hard years of no one, you know, you can't repair the past with fantasy, and it's almost like there's no been repairing, but 3 major, very painful things, years. Also, I feel that the way I read is this, smiley face, I like that name, is that every negative can be a positive, and the way I look at it, it's up to you. Now, I feel that it's up to you to keep this moving forward. Don't wait for him or him to, you know, get on with the process, because I don't think it's going to be that easy, which in a perfect world, that would be great. But for you, you've made your choice. However, God, there's another man. You know, there's not a lot of positive men around here. There's an attorney-looking man in the next 2 months around you, in the summer months, around June, late June, July. And he looks like he's maybe a really down-to-earth lawyer, but he's not on his higher vibration. He's gone into the lower end. He's not doing what he needs to be doing. And I start getting that, what I'm getting is that you may start getting into this useless sacrifice stuff and going through all the motions again. You need to take control. If you see anything going on that you need to go, I'm not going to delay what needs to be going on, grab hold of what you need to knowledge or find someone else that will do the job for you. And yes, I do see this happening, but it's going to be you that is going to make sure you stay on the track with this. Because if you want to be nice and don't let everybody, don't be like that. You take your personal power, I see you grabbing back yourself, and boy, you deserve it. It's more exhausting not to have it, and it's less exhausting to have it, but it feels sometimes the other way. But do you have a child?
I have 4.
There's one child that I'm picking up on that's very intuitive with his dreams, actually. He looks like a boy. Could be wrong. 8, 9, I don't know, but it just very gentle, warm, loving child, and very sensitive, and you're really in tune with this child. And if anything, all your children matter, but this one particular child is very important. This child is doing fine, and will do fine. But you need to it would be a good idea to make sure you're doing this also for your children, to show them that it's better to have better to have a life that you need to have and people around it. I'm not saying your husband is so bad or anything, but I don't get good energy about any males around you. But yes, I do see it's happening, but it's going to be on you. Make it happen. It will definitely happen. I see before, right after the first of the year, it very much so you can even speed this up. You can make this happen very quickly. Just, be involved with it more so than most people. Don't let it just think someone's doing the work for it, getting it going, like an attorney or something. I hope that made sense to you.
Does. And the two men you were speaking of are both of him.
Oh, they are? Oh, yeah, it's pretty creepy. Yeah. That's too much. So exhausting. So exhausting. And you know what? There's a lot of good things ahead. This will be difficult, but go for it. It's already been difficult enough. You're exhausted, so go for this. But don't back away from this no matter what. You have the ability to grab yourself, your strength available is there. You just haven't felt it in a while, but it is there, and you're taking back yourself. And your children will just, your children, this is about them. You want them to make sure they see what you're doing, and they learn, and then they go about their business when they get older. It's wonderful. And you will be okay money-wise, it looks like, too, because of you. It's going to be good. Yes, this is good. Absolutely.
That was a definite concern. Thank you. The money-wise was a definite concern of mine. Thank you.
Yeah, you'll be okay. I see you get, it's because of you getting just a generosity coming. It's going to, you'll be fine. You're a strong woman. You're taking yourself back. You'll be great. It'll be great. So just don't be indecisive. Go for it. Yes. Do what you're doing and you be in charge of this more than ever.
And,
yes.
And you do know me, Maureen, but I'm not going to say who I am, but thank you very much for all your
Sure. Okay. Well, smile. Now I'm going to say that. Thank you, smiley face, very much. I'm glad I helped you if I did and shed some light. And bless your heart.
Well, thank you, Maureen. That was a great reading. And we've got a caller now from Indiana. And Nancy's going to take this call. Who do we have from Indiana?
My name is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
We're good, thank you, Joe. We've had a good time listening to Shelley, so I'm going to hand you over to Nancy.
Hi, Joe, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
My real question is, I recently just applied for a job out of state, and I was just curious if you see me getting the job or moving away, or what do you see in the future for that?
Okay, I see a very positive future for you, and I see a time of activation and a lot of things going on. Is there a significant other in your life right now?
No, there is not.
Okay, well, I see, I just did a quick spread, and the Lover's card came up, and it's a very positive card that, you know, usually only shows up with me anyway, and calls that I get very infrequently, although this week I've seen it a lot, which is nice because I think there's a lot of love out there. And so I'm seeing you attracting some really positive things, and I think a lot of it, well, it always has to do with us. So you've made, I feel that you've done a lot of personal growth. Do you feel that you've done a lot of inspect on yourself, and have you done a lot of like personal self-care and that recently?
Oh yes, quite a bit.
Yeah, and I see that, and I see also like around you there's a lot of positive people, so I think, and I see not so great things in the past. I see you as somebody that's made peace with a lot of things and ups and downs with your family as well.
Yes.
Yeah, and I see that now, like you've made peace with all that. So to get back to the job and the upcoming future, I see that happening, and I also see not only that, but I know your concern is attracting the right job and financial reasons and that, but it's going to be much more than financial prosperity that you're going to attract. You're going to attract love in your life, and it's just going to continue from there, and it's all because you've taken that time to do your homework and groundwork and work on yourself, and you put all this out to the universe, and now it's payback time for you. So I see a lot of good things.
Now, what's the time frame that you see that happening in?
Well, it's in the immediate future. So did you recently apply for this position?
Yep, I actually just got back yesterday from my interview.
Yeah, so the timeline, I would say, is in the next month you're going to hear something. And depending on their needs and your needs, it's going to happen very quickly. It's going to happen very quickly. And the love that I'm seeing here is more of a long-term thing. So I think over the next 12 months, with all the changes that are going on, you're going to meet somebody, when all of this happens, and things are just going to blossom.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much.
And it is a time of growth, not just the spiritual and emotional stuff, working on, but there's a lot of, like I said, you've done your groundwork, and the rest now is just falling into place because of all the positive things that you've done.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for your help and your insight.
Yeah, and good luck, and be happy.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Nancy, and good luck to you, Joe. Okay, now, next caller is for Sharon, and it's a call from Virginia.
Hi, Virginia. Are you there? Hello? Is there someone from Virginia? Can you speak up, please? Steve, I don't know if she's there. Can you hear her?
No, I don't hear anybody.
Oh, okay.
So let me check if we have another caller lined up. Yeah, we've got somebody here waiting from Illinois. Who's calling from Illinois?
Hello?
Do we have a caller from Illinois?
Yes. Hello?
Oh, hi. Hi, Illinois. It's Sharon here. Can I have your name, please?
Jill?
Hi, did you have a question for me tonight?
I don't know if this is too general. If it is, I can change my question. I just have been really stuck in my life for a long time.
Okay. And you know, I'm feeling, as I go into your energy, I immediately go to the number two, and I feel that within 2 years, you're not even going to recognize who you were. I'm feeling, when I want to go to July and August of this year, and I'm feeling that there's going to be a major push in your life it's almost like something that makes you tick, some kind of passion that you have, that it feels like something creative that you do is going to open up in your life, and it's going to start in July, and then there's no stopping you. It's almost like it just feels so nice. Like, I see you almost dancing in 2 years. Does this make any sense? What do you do that's creative that you stop doing?
I don't, you know, I feel like someday I'm supposed to write a book.
Okay, so you should get...
Also, I am a great healer if I had the opportunity to do that.
Okay, well, you know, sometimes the timing's never right. So what we have to do is we have to start walking forward. And I'm feeling for you, like, just if really tell the universe, you know what, make it crystal clear. I want to do this. If you're a healer, it's the perfect time to be waking up because everybody's needing help right now. And I'm seeing spirit all beside you. So they're itching for you to snap out of this. And it's easier than you think, I want to say. You know, it would be really good for you to do a clearing on your home, like maybe sage that, you know what saging is?
Yes.
Okay, maybe sage the house or get a really nice bell and ring it all over the house and just get some happy energy in there. And I'm feeling really lovely energy all around you. Like, it's not yet. Like you know, you are kind of stuck, but you're just in the writing. You have to do the writing. Like, the writing is imperative that you do it. And just start. You know, it's not going to come out volume 1, volume 2, volume 3. It's just going to come out like sort of all over the place, and it's being channeled to you. So keep it going. It's, you know, I see good things for you. Okay?
Do you think you're doing okay financially this year?
It's going to be, I'm seeing August is going to be a little bit of a turn. And then I'm seeing more into the new year that it's going to be a little bit smoother. There's more of a flow. All right?
But I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, you're going to be okay. It's all coming your way. You just got to get out of your own way. Okay?
Okay.
All right, well, you take care of yourself. Oops.
Great. Thank you for that, Sharon. That's wonderful. Now we've got a caller from New Jersey, and I'll take this call, unless it's Snooki.
Steve.
Hi, who's calling?
It's me, Steve. It's Deborah.
Hey, Deborah. Not Snooki, then.
Oh, no, it's not Snooki. No way.
How are you doing, Deborah?
Okay, I'm great, hon. I'm a little depressed. Here's what's going on. I applied for an apartment very close to my job today.
Yep.
And Francine's mom is still calling now almost every night. Do Francine know she's calling? She wants us to talk, it's obvious. But I'm very cautious when we talk. What can you guys tell me?
Well, my guides are saying just continue to be very balanced and cautious. You're right to feel cautious about this, because although her mother is well-intentioned and does want you to be friends, she wants to bring you together. There's a possibility that she will share information that you share with her daughter, and that wouldn't be appropriate. So my guides are saying just continue to be cautious. So when you do hear from her, be balanced, you know, consider what's appropriate to tell her, what isn't. So they say that you should just make sure that you think it through carefully. She's a very strong character, isn't she? The mother's a very strong character.
Very, very strong. She's like a snake in a grass. Mm-hmm. She's very, very pushy. It's like the other night she called, and I guess she kept getting interruptions, and she just like, she was going to call me back, and then she's going to call me. She wanted me to call her, I guess, for my number to be on her phone. I'm like, oh, nope, I can't do that. And it's like, it's getting to a point where it's like, why? I mean, she's like, well, I'm going to give you her number. I'm like, I don't want her number. I mean, she knows my number. Then it's like very subtle, but I'm not hearing from the person I should hear from. It's like,
well,
you see,
that's partly, though, Deborah, because you're still very attached to the outcome. And, you know, I know that you want to be in contact with your friend Francine. My guides are saying you have to, energetically, you've got to move beyond the situation and beyond the outcome. And that's how it actually unfolds. It's when you release it energetically that it unfolds, it flows better. So you really have to focus upon yourself at the moment. You've got to focus upon your new work, getting yourself settled, and knowing that you're wonderful, and of course she should be in contact with you. You're a wonderful friend. And my guides say, though, that if you focus upon yourself and relax a little more, don't be anxious about the situation, you'll find that it just unfolds much more easily. Because, again, it's not a criticism, it's just classic law of attraction. You're still very, very attached to that specific outcome, and it's when you realize that you're just perfect as you are, and whilst you want to be friends with her, you've got to trust that it'll happen when it's meant to, and you have to focus upon yourself and your life and recognize how wonderful you are, and that of course she should want to be in contact with you. And it's when you take that approach that you'll find that she comes your way.
Her mother makes it look like she's doing so well. And I'm like, well, I mean, I have this and I have that, and I have this and I have that. I said, all she has is the dog and Joanna. You know, it's not like she has anything. Her mom makes it look like, oh, she's, I don't know, it's just really weird. But I'm trying to get into the move. I'm trying to get into my relocation. I applied for this apartment. I'm trusting that I get it. Because it's a nice area, it's close to my job, and I can afford it.
Well, you absolutely will get the apartment.
I'm excited.
Don't worry about it. Just get excited about what you'll put in it, how you'll organize your belongings. And,
yeah, I love decorating.
You know, some of the things that you'll do, so buy yourself a nice candle that you'll burn in the bathroom, buy yourself some nice things that you would like to put in there, and focus upon getting settled. You know, get yourself a nice book that you want to read when you get in there, and a bottle of wine or whatever is important to you, whatever makes you feel settled. Focus upon that, and focus upon nurturing yourself, and you'll find that everything else unfolds. I can tell you that Francine loves you. She has a lot of love for you. She's quite dysfunctional. You know, she's got her issues. We've all got issues, but she's got those issues are playing out a little bit more in her life than maybe most people or than she would like. Her mother's definitely exaggerating, but you'll see that in time she does contact you again. You know, we said a while ago that she would contact you, and she did, and she will do it again. But you'll find the situation, the best approach to the situation is to just detach and focus upon yourself, knowing that it will unfold. Okay.
Okay. So I will get the apartment. That's all I want to hear in here. Get Francine.
You'll be fine. And you'll know pretty soon. When are they due to come back to you? Because my guides are giving me 1 to 3 days.
Oh, that would be awesome. Okay. I love you, Steve. Thank you. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Thank you. Good luck to you. Take care.
Thank you, Steve. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Okay. Now let's see. Who is next? Have we got? I'm just trying to work out if we've got another caller on the line or whether we should take a question from the chat room. And we have got somebody.
Hello?
Michigan. Is this Michigan? I think it's from. Hi, this is Maureen. Is this from Michigan? Are you calling from Michigan?
Yes.
China Doll?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
Unless you want to give me your real name, that's okay.
Hi.
And this is Maureen. I'm going to be taking and doing your reading. Do you want to give me your real name or does it matter?
My real name is China.
China. Okay. Well, that's great. Okay. And there you have it. Okay. And I'm ready for you. What can I focus in for you?
My question is, me and my boyfriend, we've been together for at least 7 months, but it's still like we've been together for a lot longer than that. And I've heard from other psychics that we've had a past life together, that we've been married before in a past life. So I guess that's why it feels like we've been together for a lot longer than 7 months. But my question is, the relationship really has not been going anywhere. Things are definitely different from what they were in the beginning. And I want to know if things are going to get better because I'm starting to get very emotionally drained.
Right. It is so draining to be in relationship. I would say everybody should get out of relationship. It is. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, is he working in a location or doing some new work of some sort?
Yeah.
Okay. That is, you know, this is the thing. I'm not condoning whatever he's doing and not paying attention, but you're at a mark right now with where you are, and I can understand what you're talking about. Like, you know, it's like you met him, you felt like you know him forever, and most likely, you know, I'm not disagreeing with, you probably had some past life stuff going on there, but it looks like he can't give much of himself in a relationship. At the same time, he's juggling, he's trying to make some work for him. He's trying to be a responsible, you know, a man, feeling he's not inadequate. And it does look like it's very positive what he's doing right now, but because of that, he's not having time for the relationship because he can't juggle it, two things at one time. Now, a lot of times we can. A lot of women, sometimes men, do have an issue with that because they think, why aren't you spending time? They don't know, well, this guy's trying to work a lot or something. But if he is just working, it does look like a new location. To me, he's really focused on this, and I don't feel it's because of his lack of caring or loving for you, but I think it's just because his priorities are about work. And I know that women need to feel that it'd be nice if he would be in a perfect world, that he would at least show you a little bit of niceties or something during this time, but he just may not be doing that. But I do feel that you guys really did come into the springtime here with a new beginning, a sense of something, really, like around late March. It felt really good. There was something going on that you guys were, I mean, talking about, you know, your direction or what you both felt about your moving in the future, taking the next step. A new agreement needs to be made after like 6 months, 7 months. But I'm sorry, excuse me, China. I feel very good about this, that it will move forward. This job of his is the best thing that whatever he's doing new is the best choice he made. And I feel he's going to get acknowledged and get credibility that he deserves. He's going to start feeling better about himself and adequate. And for him, that's important to be with you. There's a fear of money issues severely around this relationship. Like, do you do better than him financially?
Do I do better than him?
Do you make more money than him financially?
I just started a new job, so right now he's making more money than me.
Okay, well, have you in the past, before that, have you been the one that he looked at as being the more together woman? In their, this is the thing I'm getting. I feel, you two, you know what? This is I see moving forward. I know that you're, it's in limbo right now, but it's going to pass. It's very temporary. I see limbo, things will get out of limbo land. I do feel that there's a fear of money issues, but I think that you two are so profoundly connected, and it goes deeper than physical love even. You two are, have that, soul, you know, I hate to call it the soulmate stuff going on, and it's one of the soulmate stuff that can be very devastating and hard to deal with each other. I don't feel that he's detaching from you because he's not interested. I feel it is what it is. He's trying to make himself feel good about himself so he can feel like the guy, a man. And you know, he has no adequate, you know, feelings going on. This is a really good time if you can try to maybe have a different perspective. I think you're strong enough to be able to deal with this. And I'm not, I don't think he's come out and said to you, I'm not interested in you, I don't like you anymore, I want to run. I just think he's maybe been a little bit detached, like you said. But I feel that you, when you're getting around to within the next 8 months, you appear to be scared about opening up and being free to go for it. I mean, I see you as really lifelong partners if you desire this, definitely. But there's a lot of past you need to let go of, some passing, quit rehashing some things about past or whatever. But I see you two very well suited, except it can be difficult because you have that intense, profound soulmate thingy going. And sometimes that can be really hard. But I say this is good, and I say be fearless and go for it and just be, I think this is good, and don't listen to what other people have to say about this. Outside influences will not serve this good. Like your friends or someone going, well, he's not interested in you. They don't know what the true depth of your relationship is. They don't know. So I see it thriving. I really do. And I think it's really clear. It's going to be faster than you think. It'll start moving along faster. It'll get much better within the next week even. But within 8 months, it's you that I see that's going to have a hard time opening up. Interesting. It's good. Hard is good. China, I hope that helped you. I know, I'm just telling you like it is. I know he's probably not been really great, nice, whatever, attentive, but I think he's a good guy, and I think you two are going to thrive. And I see you moving forward, definitely, into a closer, and taking the next step, definitely.
Are you going to see a future with us?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that the same vibe right now?
Pardon me?
I was saying, you do see a future with us? Yeah, as bad as things are right now?
I do. It will be. It's difficult. You guys have a different type of connection than most people. That's the difference here. You know, like you said, that's what's hard about it. But it'll be okay. You have the strength to handle it. Go for it. Yes, I do see a very good future, but it's hard to get past this profound connection you have, you see? So just try to have a different perspective on it. He's working hard. And you have a psychic connection really intensely. I do see it moving forward. I see this to be a very spiritual connection, most definitely. So maybe try to change your perspective a little bit. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. I hope that helped you. And I feel real good about this, really. I do.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you,
so Maureen.
Thank you, China.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Maureen. Okay, now we have a call for Nancy from New York. Who do we have from New York?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
Anne.
Hi, Anne. Well, I'm going to hand you over to Nancy.
Excuse me?
Hi, Anne. How are you?
Hi, I'm okay. I just wanted to know, I'm in school right now, and I'm actually on academic probation, and I just wanted to know if I'm going to bring my GPA up to what it has to be so I can continue my studies at the school. And it has to, you know, it has to happen in like 3 weeks when school is over. This semester is over.
Okay. And what kind of program are you enrolled in?
It's teaching English as a second language to non-native speakers.
Okay, how interesting. Things are looking very positive for you. Like in the very near future, there's, you know, some positive things going to happen, and I feel that you're going to be able to do this. And what I feel, though, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle for you because you have a lot of self-doubt about it, and that's the only thing holding you back is your lack of confidence in yourself. But you shouldn't worry about that, because I see that you're in a time now of major, major transformation. And I think not only are things in your physical environment changing, but I think you're at a crossroads emotionally and spiritually, and you're, you know what you want to do in life, and you're very passionate about it, and, you know, good for you, because a lot of people, especially at your age, don't always know what it is they want to do. So you're very blessed, and like a lot of us, especially women, especially younger women, confidence in ourselves, and you're a very intelligent young woman, and you're very outgoing, and you know exactly what it is you want. So it's there for you, and you just need to, you know, focus more on the doing. And I think that that's what's happening with you, is that your mind goes back to what if this doesn't work or whatever. But, you know, it's going to work, and you have all the ability in the world. It's just your confidence in yourself is holding you back, because everything around you is very positive. And I see like major, major transformation and changes happening in your life, but they're all very positive changes. And I think that deep down inside, you really know that you can do this, but there's that little voice in you somewhere that is kind of that little bit of doubt that you still have, and you just have to deal with that and try to overcome that, and everything is going to just fall into place for you, because you've worked hard, and if you continue to work hard and just put all your energy into the positive, then it's going to happen.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Okay, we've got time for another short call before we end the show. And this is a call for you, Sharon, from Virginia.
Hi. Is this Dee? Do we have Dee on the phone? No? Virginia? Dee? Hello?
Oh, actually, Sharon, the message I've received says that Dee's in the chat room.
Oh, sorry.
So I think her question's actually in the chat room.
I looked all over. I couldn't see it. So,
Sharon?
All right.
Hello?
Do you see it?
She's not on the line.
Because I don't see any. I looked right through to see if there was a message, and I couldn't see anything. Well, maybe
okay,
I'll
well,
just
no
do...
worries. Let's ask Dee to just type her question again. Oh,
oh,
she's on the phone.
She's on the line, she said.
Hello?
Oh, hi, Dee. Sharon here. How are you?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Oh, I'm glad you got through. What's your question for me? Oh, I guess she's having a hard time.
Can you hear me, Sharon? I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. So if you can give me your question, it'd be great.
Okay, someone that I dated, we haven't spoken in a while, and I've been thinking about this person lately. Just calling to find out, should I go ahead and contact him or just leave it alone?
Okay, I'm seeing you almost have to contact him, because if you don't, it's going to haunt you for the rest of your life. It's not going to be what you think. Like, I think after a long time, you've kind of been envisioning him a different way and wondering about him and stuff, but it'll be good to let that part of your past go. I'm not sure where it's going. I don't know if it's going to be someone you're going to continue on for the rest of your life with, but it is important for you to get a hold of him. Are you feeling kind of like all like jittery inside? Because like, that's what I'm feeling from you when you talk about him.
Not jittery, it's just, I mean, I don't know if we'll have a love connection, so to speak, but I miss his company.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's really important. I think it's really important for you to contact him. And I think that there's a few surprises in store for you regarding him. But I don't know, when I go forward, I'm not sure if he's the one you continue with for the, forever kind of thing. When I go into, are you with someone now, like in a relationship? Because I don't.
No, I'm not.
No. Okay. Because when I go forward to 2012, maybe around March and then again in August, I'm seeing you in a really, really healthy, nice, happy relationship. And you're, it's like you feel young and happy, and it's really good for you. So now, whether that's this guy who's you know, appears differently to me now, and then he's changed to that person, I don't know. But I know that that's all out there for you. And what Spirit's saying is it's time. It's time for you to have something in your life like that that's really healthy. And, you know, I'm feeling other people sort of let you down a bit and when it comes to relationships. And they're saying that there's one coming that's very, very strong for you. Does that make sense for you?
It makes sense, but my ego is just so big. I just don't want to reach out to him.
because what about, can you catch him on Facebook or something and just say, hey, you, or something like that? So that it's not like you're calling him and saying, you know.
Right. I guess I could, you know, send him an email and say, hi, how are you doing, or something like that. I guess I could do that.
Yeah, or you could say, I had a dream about you.
No!
Because we were all talking about dreams. You could say, I had a dream about you last night. I just wanted to check.
No.
I just hope that he's not psychic for you.
I'm not going to say that, but I probably can. Why can't he reach out to me? Because I know he's thinking about me. He told people that he's been thinking about me, but he hasn't reached out to me.
Really? Well, tell Spirit to tell him to call you. Tell Spirit that you want him to call you, you know. I mean, it's not going to hurt if you call. Then it gives you sort of all the power. So, you know, I would just call or email him or something like that, right?
Okay.
Be shy. But things do feel good.
Okay, well, thank you, Sharon. Nice chatting
all right,
with you.
You take care of yourself.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Good luck to you, Dee. And thank you for that, Sharon. That was great. Well, we also had some great calls, great readings. Amazing guest, wonderful co-hosts. What more could you ask? It was a really wonderful show. I'm so grateful for that show. It was fantastic. I want to thank Doug as well, working hard behind the scenes as always, keeping us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to all of my co-hosts for joining us this evening. It was just brilliant. And Shelley commented on how good the energy is on the show. It was a wonderful endorsement from her. Now, next week's show is anchored by Sharon. What do you have in store for us next week, Sharon?
Okay, I have Claude Lover, too, coming on, and he's going to talk to us about conscious affirmative living and talk about his books and stuff. He's fun, so it's going to be good.
Wow, that sounds fantastic, Sharon. Did you enjoy the show?
Loved it. I can't wait to get started.
Well, we love you too. And Maureen, thank you very much.
Thank you. And it was a very good, it was lovely. Thank you.
It was great, wasn't it? It's one of those shows I'm going to listen to over and over because there's just so much to absorb and learn.
Yes.
It was wonderful. Well, thank you for being with us, Maureen. It was great to share some time with you as always. Have a wonderful weekend. And Nancy, thank you. Extra special thank you to you for joining us as our guest co-host.
Thank you. I had a wonderful time as usual.
Wonderful,
Nancy. Lots of fun.
I'm sure you'll be back with us soon. So thank you once again. And thank you to everybody that called in, everybody that listened. Please do send on the link to the archive so that everyone can hear what Shelley had to say and also the insight from all of the co-hosts. You know, when we provide readings, then there are messages for many, many people, including ourselves, when we do that. That's information from Spirit that can be used in many different circumstances. So we wish you a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening. And do join us again at Thursday, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Thank you once again. And good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Night.